Titus chapter 3, please. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, and if you have a Bible, you will need to turn in another location. We're going to read a verse in the introduction. I meant to put it in the slides, and I did not. And that will be Romans chapter 3, verse 28. We'll come to Romans 3, 28 during the introduction to the sermon this morning. Let's all stand, please. I'm going to speak this morning on good works and salvation in Titus. When I decided to preach through Titus, I decided to preach through Titus for many reasons. One reason is it has the two poles. It talks a lot about what Christ has done for us, and it secondly talks a lot about how we live the Christian life. And I have dealt a lot with that, those pieces. By the way, still haven't fixed anything, but I'm working on things. You know, older women are supposed to be teaching younger women good things, not gossip, not opinions, not talking about people. Shockingly, I read that in Titus 2. By the way, the whole book is practical, but very rich in theology. This is the second major rich portion about salvation. We're going to read it. I'm only going to deal with one portion today, because we're going to look at the whole book of Titus and good works, which I think will be able to give all of the believers here some ideas how to think. And if you're not a Christian, it will help you understand the gospel. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. For we ourselves, Paul is talking about himself. Anybody that's a Christian has this testimony to some way and some degree. He says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, meaning to the truth, deceived, or led astray like a falling star out of alignment, serving, or, and that is the word that we'll look at later for being enslaved, enslaved to different or diverse lust and pleasures. By the way, if you want to know people, what drives the person? An unsaved person is always driven by one thing, their appetites. Did you hear me? Always. They can never say, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't follow my appetite. Appetite dominates. This is what Paul's saying. That's the characteristic of an unsaved person. An unsaved person is enslaved to different lusts and pleasures, living in malice, meaning you have ill will towards people, and envy, that's an ugly word, hateful, and that can also be translated hating, or being hated, excuse me. It's only used one time in the New Testament. It is impossible to tell from this, but it either means hating others or being hated yourself, and then it goes on to say, and hating one another. Then you get to the gospel, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. That, and we're not going to really have time to deal with that this morning, but the when God makes us new, when we get saved, he cleanses us up, and the renewing, the making new by the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, which or who, I won't talk about that this morning. That'll be next week probably, but the Holy Ghost is the who. Technically, which is appropriate, but it doesn't work in modern English. It's who he, God the Father, shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Romans 3:28, I want you to, it's not behind me. Romans 3:28 will be the introduction, and it will be very important in the sermon this morning. Romans 3:28, I will not preach on the text. I've already preached on the text. It will be the center of the opening introduction. Romans 3:28. Therefore, we what? By the way, that means there is a whole reasoning process that precedes this. You cannot quote this verse out of context. He says, therefore, we come to this conclusion that a man, a human, is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. We call that sola fide, by or through faith alone. We are justified by faith without or apart from the deeds of the law. I'll come back to that in a moment because that is a very important phrase. Let's pray together, please. Father, thank you for this time. Bless as I try to give everyone a way of thinking about this most important subject. I don't desire anybody to be confused about good works. These things have been taught for 30 years in this church, but we have a way of being absent when we need to be present or sleeping when we need to be awake. I would ask, Father, this would form the background of the thinking of people in this room so we can understand from one small book, which teaches the same thing as all the books teach on this subject of good works and salvation. Help me as I share these ideas. I ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Romans 3:28, if you still have your Bibles open. Therefore, we conclude. I would say, of course, the therefore is rather important, and the fact that this is a reasoned conclusion. This is not an opinion. We have come to this conclusion that a man, not talking about a male, talking about a human, man or woman, is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. All right, friends. I was reading a book 2 weeks ago or three, I forget what week. The book is by an excellent man. The man is a very good thinker. I like almost everything about the guy. He is conservative, morally. He's a good man. He is intellectual. He's very bright. He's helpful. And I'm going to say some words. If you do not know the words, just skip the words. He is an observant Jew. 75% of the Jews you meet in this area will not be observant. He is an observant Jew. I don't even know if 75 might be actually low. Good man. He was discussing Judaism, and he was discussing Judaism as opposed to Christianity. He is somewhat knowledgeable, much more knowledgeable than most people I have met when it comes to Christianity, who is Jewish. So if you have ears to hear, you're going to learn something right now that most of you don't know. If you talk to a Jewish person in this broad area, they're going to assume you're Roman Catholic or Orthodox. If you say, I'm an evangelical, meaning I believe the gospel, they take that word evangelical and stick it on the front of Roman Catholic. How do I know this? By talking to hundreds of Jewish people. Their background for 1,600 years of Christians killing Jews has always been by established churches. And in America, we don't have an established church, but in many countries we have, and the Roman Catholics have killed Jews, and the Orthodox in the Russia, Ukraine, in those places have killed Jews. So you will say, I'm not one of those. And they're looking at you and say, well, they still think you're a Roman Catholic. I'm just telling you this. Get that through your head. Now, this guy is different. He was pretty well informed. He's a very bright guy. Good guy, by the way. In the sense of, I like a lot of what he has to say. You say, what's his name? For a price, I'll tell you after this service. It's not important. As he's discussing Christianity's history of killing Jewish people, by the way, so you say, I'm British. Well, God bless you. In 1290, the Brits kicked out the Jews from England. Thank you for sharing that. 1492, the Spanish kicked the Jews out. By the way, Jews have been persecuted by so-called Christians so long they assume all people like us want to kill them. We'll be talking about this in Sunday school in the near future. But he's saying, what's the difference between Judaism and Christianity? And why am I not a Christian? Well, I was assuming one thing. I was assuming he did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Mashiach, the anointed one, the chosen one. He kind of talked about that. And then he went to the place that I was not expecting. Romans 3:28. Did you hear me? He went to this very verse. Look at it. Therefore, we conclude what? That a man or a woman is justified how? By faith. Now, that's shorthand, by faith in Christ alone. He's justified by faith without the deeds of the law, according to this man. By the way, I got the book, so I think I can read. He said this. He quoted this text. He alluded to this text. And he said this. Paul says keeping the law is not important. And he says, I believe keeping the law is important. What is his problem, everybody? He does not know how faith in Christ relates to good works. By the way, this is the longest standing problem within Christendom. And in this room, we are an evangelical Bible-believing church. We believe the gospel. We preach the gospel of the grace of God and that we respond in faith. Do we have it understood? So what we're going to do is we're going to look at a paradigm this morning. This is a way of thinking. I've done this before. The only difference is we're going to deal with Titus this morning. Seven references to good works in the book of Titus. So we're going to try to break it out. Behind me, you will see the possibilities. So, here are the possibilities. Good works leads to salvation. That is one logical possibility, but hear me. As far as I know, no one teaches this. Even a Jewish person would not teach it. They would teach that you have to love God, God has to love you, you have to be part of the chosen people, something. No one's going to teach the first one. It's logically possible, but it's not on the table. Number two. Faith plus what? Good works of some variety leads to salvation. I want to say this clearly. Vast majority of religious people I have met believe number two. They believe it's a little bit of Jesus, good works, going to a certain church, doing certain religious things. And if you do all those things, somehow, maybe, could be, you go to heaven. By the way, Roman Catholics, no hatred of Roman Catholics. I'm not a hater of people. Can I say this to all of you? I don't know any of you, so I want to be very careful. The man you're looking at does not have hatred of people. I'm talking about ideas. But ideas that have eternal consequences. I never grew up with hatred of I'm not a Roman Catholic, don't have any Roman Catholic hatred. I don't spend time, but I want to be very clear. If you talk to a Roman Catholic within minutes, how are you saved? They're going to say, Jesus, baptism, first confession, other things, probably going to toss Mary in there someplace, so it's going to be faith plus, yes. And then, by the way, it doesn't get you saved, but you might somewhere, sometime get, yes. That's, by the way, this is factual, it's not opinion, it's just the way it is. By the way, if you go to this church, you can go out here to Lewis Avenue, go down the road. It's called the Church of Christ, which is a cult in America. They teach Jesus plus baptism in their church. So it's always a little bit of Jesus and a lot of other things. You toss them all in, you mix it all up, and maybe you get saved in the end. That's what cults believe. Thirdly, is a view that is held by some people. And from reading this man, I think he thought this is what Christians believe. But he's read intellectuals. Martin Luther could be very much in this category, though he could be read in different ways. Faith leads to salvation. Good works is tossed in the trash can. Doesn't matter how you live. Can I ask you a question? Do me a favor. Raise your hand. How many Christians have you met that say this is true? Some of you are looking, I mean, come on, folks. I know 50 people have been members of this church that say that. They don't come here anymore because they don't go to church. Because you don't have to have good works. Good works has nothing to do with salvation. You just trust Jesus when you're 12. You go off about your business and everybody is happy. By the way, this is one belief. Faith in Christ leads to salvation. I'm asking you a question. If this is a possibility, is it biblical? We have to ask questions. This is the paradigm. The fourth paradigm is pretty simple. Faith leads to salvation. And that's a lot of baggage. It's not faith in faith. It's faith in Christ. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, leads to salvation, which leads to good works. Hear the word, inevitably. We're going to look through the book of Titus and see if you can come to any conclusions this morning. That's going to be our basic paragraph, paradigm, pattern, form. All right. Titus contains what I would consider a very robust teaching on this subject. Titus 3 verse 5 says this, not by works of righteousness, which we have what? But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. I would say number one is we begin, and I'm going to put six ideas together this morning reasonably quickly. Number one, good works do not save. That seems to be the teaching. By the way, look at me, please. It's not about the Jewish guy. I only brought the Jewish guy up because I like the guy. And I realized he's confused. He's thinking this. Paul is teaching, I don't have to do any kind of good works. I can just have faith and everything is okay. He doesn't understand the paradigm either. But we start with a simple principle. Good works do not save us. So there is nothing that you and I can do that's going to save us in the line of doing good. That's not what saves a person. By the way, the text is very clear. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. There's no amount of righteous things you could do in order to get saved. Titus contains a robust teaching on this subject. Acts 15:1, we have a whole chapter that's debating this issue. It says, certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, what? You cannot be saved. They're saying, yes, it's Jesus, but it's also you have to be circumcised. You have to keep elements of the law in order to be saved. What they're teaching is faith plus works leads to salvation. That's the whole debate in Acts 15. 15:5 says this, but there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. So if you want to be saved, you had to go back and be, another way of saying, you had to become Jewish in order to be a Christian. By the way, can I say this, everybody? Everybody? You do not have to become Jewish to become a Christian. Now, take a breather. You also don't have to stop being Jewish in order to be a believer. See, both of those lies are told. There is no, by the way, you read the book of Acts, believers, James, the Lord's half-brother, kept the law. There was, you don't have to stop being Jewish in order to be a believer. You don't have to become Jewish to be a Christian. No, it's about Christ, and it's about God saving us and forgiving us. So, good works do not save. Acts 15:11, this is Peter speaking, by the way. Paul has already spoken. Peter's going to speak. James, they're all going to say the same thing. He says, but we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we, he's talking about Jewish people, shall be saved even as they, non-Jews. Romans 11, verse 6, very important verse. I'm just going to read it this morning. Paul says, and if it's by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You're going to have to choose. Are you saved by what Christ does for us? Or are you saved by what you do? They two don't work together. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. talking about the Father who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Number one, good works do not save. Number two, well, we'll go to Titus 3 first, Titus 3, verse 3. I'll spend more time on this in future, I think, but for this morning, we'll read it and hit the highlights. Titus 3, verse 3 says this, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish." Sometimes, you know, before now. Paul's talking about, I'm going to preach on this, before Christ. Before Christ, this is who we were. We were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers or different lusts and pleasures, living in malice, meaning that ill will. By the way, if you have ill will towards lots of people over a period of time, Houston, we have a problem. Paul says that's what unsaved people do. Envy, hateful, or being hated, and hating one another. I would say number two, good works do not save. Number two, good works cannot save. They do not save. They cannot save. Why not? Please look at me. Have you ever tried to stop a habit? Everybody look at me. Have you ever tried to stop a bad habit? How well did you do? There's people in this room that have problems with diabetes. They have it right now. The symptoms are right here. What have they done? You say, I'm going to be a better person. If your hope is being a better person, you have no hope at all. Because, friends, the kind of thing Paul's talking about, you can't just stop. It doesn't work that way. God has to do something. So good works do not save. They cannot save. Let's kind of look at that text. Paul says, before salvation, we're foolish. By the way, have you ever tried to convince a fool of something different? We're disobedient. Obviously, we don't want to do right. We're deceived. That's from the Greek word we get planet from. It means, you know, being led around. By the way, most people are just being led around by the nose, of course. We're serving. That's a harsh word. That's the word we get enslaved to. We are enslaved to what? Lust. And lust is not just sexual. Any kind of passion that you have. And pleasure. We get hedonistic from that word. We have all of these pleasures and passions. Can I say this? I know a person right now. He's not here. He hasn't been here in decades. He trusted Jesus. And every piece of his life is dominated by his passions, desires, what he wants. Do you understand, by definition, that's an unsaved person? You say, I'm going to change. Good luck. I'm going to stop. Good luck. You ever talk to a person about their diabetes while they're eating a chocolate bar? I work with a girl named Susie. This is a long time ago now, 40 years. Susie was a nice girl. She was a Christian girl. She became a diabetic when she went through puberty. So she was a what kind of diabetic? Type 1. Severe diabetic. By the way, she would go to the, I was going to use Polish words, but some of you won't know. Do you know the word gidunk? I was going to speak Navy talk. Gidunk. There was a little, what would you call it? A gift shop at the hospital. She'd go in there and get one of those Snickers bars that weighs a half a pound. She'd walk in, eat the Snickers bar. She's a type 1 diabetic. And tell me what she did. Some of you really don't know. She gave herself a shot. The chances of her being alive 40 years later is almost zero. By the way, folks, don't you talk to me about I'm going to fix myself. I'm going to do better. No, you're not. Apart from the grace of God. This is the reason good works can't fix us, cannot save us. The symptoms are too horrible. We are dominated by our lust and our pleasures. Again, I know a guy, his face is in my face right now. He would swear on a stack of Bibles that he's a believer. And every single thing he does in life is his passions, his lust. I'm sorry, that's a definition of you before Christ. After Christ, you have higher aspirations, different drives, different passions. He goes on to say, living in malice. You ever hear people talk about other people? Wow. That's the sign of an unsaved person. Envy. Stugatoi. Hateful or being hated and hating one another. Isn't that a wonderful way? I say behind me now, if you would look, I say the list of our symptoms or our problems is simply insurmountable. You say, Pastor Warren, I'm going to change. Look at me. Look at me in the eyes. You can't change that. That's who you are apart from the grace. I don't think getting saved is praying a little prayer and you're okay. I think the salvation is something He does for you. And if He doesn't do it, you're the same person you've always been. 2021, a little bit before that, I was with Dave Haas and he caused me to go to the hospital the next day. I'm still bitter. Now, by the way, I had already knew that I had some problems potentially on the horizon. I went to had to go to the emergency room and have the least pleasant thing that's ever happened to me in my adult life. That was the beginning. Later in the next spring in 2021, the doctor said you need to have an MRI. By the way, they talk to you about, I still remember the MRI. They said, what kind of music would you like to listen to? And I said, Baroque. And she went. I said, if it isn't Baroque, don't listen to it. She said, what? I said, Bach. Someone like that. Handel. Vivaldi. Oh, okay, she said. She still puts it, by the way, I don't know why, because you're an MRI. You can't hear any of the music. Stuck me in an MRI. The most weirdest experience of my adult life is when they push that, what do they call it? I wrote it down. With contrast. And the doctor called me and says, well, it looks to me like you have about one-third of a certain area of your body that has cancer. Look me in the eyes. The moment I found that out, and then he had me come back like a week or two later, he says, now you need to have biopsies. He says, we normally do 3 to 5. I'm not going to tell you that experience, but it was one of the least pleasurable experiences of my adult life. But because I'm special, do you like to be special? Because I'm special, I got 15 biopsies. Very pleasurable. All you hear and feel the snipping. It's not something you want to do. Then he came back and says, well, you have cancer and you have some options. You're either going to have surgery or you're going to have, by the way, look at me. No amount of, I'm going to do better is going to help you. No, you're going to die unless you have intervention. Now, let me give you another, because I got people in this room, every time you talk to me about anything, I'm trying, I'm doing better. Shut that stuff up. If God doesn't fix you, nothing's going to fix you, friend. You can't do better. Good works do not save, they cannot save. July 31st last year, I had my left knee. I got a new knee. You see, somebody asked me, how's the knee working? I said, well, now I have a leg to stand on. Before, I didn't have both knees are bad. The right knee's bad, but with the left knee being good, I can at least move. Well, I had the surgery. My wife, I don't even have words. She was a phenomenal nurse. She took care of me. She put up with my crankiness. You say, aren't you always cranky? Yes, but I was especially cranky, drugged up. Look at me. The next time you hear somebody say, I'm trying, stop the lying. I have put my pants on the same way since I was probably 2 or 3. And it took me the first day I had to put pants on, I realized, put the left foot in first. Because, folks, see this motion? I'll see if I can do it. This motion? That right there would feel like somebody was stabbing me with spears in the knee. I couldn't move that leg. And I knew, put the left foot in, and I couldn't do it. Day after day after day, I'd put the right foot in. Think, are you stupid, Ralph? Why can't you change something small? Why can't you? Folks, this morning, Which foot went in first? You say, well, I've been doing it for... You say, Pastor, I'm doing better. Mm-hmm. We'll see. We'll see. Well, we're going to go to the third point. Titus 3, verse 5. By the way, don't have time to read the whole passage. The passage is exceptionally rich. We've already read it once. It's the richest passage, one of the richest in the whole Bible. But when he talks about, all right, so how are we saved? Well, Titus 3, verse 5 says this. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. According to his mercy. And by the way, who saves us? We save ourselves by doing good works, or he saves us? It's one or the other. He saves us according to his mercy. By what? The washing, and I'm not going to explain all this today, the washing of regeneration, and which means the when we're born again, we're cleaned, we're cleansed, and the whole renewing process of the Holy Spirit. Verse 6 says, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Number 3, this 6 points, simple points, friend. Good works do not save. Number 2, good works cannot save. Number 3, only God can save us through Christ. Get those 3 simple words in English. He saved us. We don't save ourselves. We don't help save ourselves. We don't do good things in order to be saved. He saves us. He does so by his mercy and grace. He justifies us. He cleanses us. He makes us new. You go through the text, it's according to his mercy, it's by his grace. We are justified or declared righteous in Christ. We are cleaned up, we're washed in the new birth, the regenerating new birth. We are made new by the Holy Spirit, and all of this is poured out on us abundantly. So by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, we are saved. Good works do not save, cannot save. Only God can save us through Christ. Number 4. Well, we're not going to go to number 4. We'll read the 2 verses. Everybody, read the 2 verses behind me. I can read my notes. He's speaking to young men. He says to the young men who are already believers. Everybody hear me. Who are already believers. In all things, showing thyself a what? A pattern of good works. Titus 2:14. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us, pay a price, and buy us out of our slavery to sin, and purify unto himself, old English, a peculiar people, a people that's unique to him, zealous of good works. So I would tell you from Titus, the whole purpose of salvation, once we trust Christ for salvation, he saves us. Our faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone, leads to salvation, which inevitably leads to good works. That's the whole purpose of it all, to change us and make us zealous of good works, or to live a pattern of good works. Number 4, God saves us in Christ unto or for good works. So look at me, please. See, we're not making this personal. Jewish man, by the way, honorable man, guy I like and read and listen to, said, I cannot be a Christian because Paul says we're justified by faith. The law is not important. He missed the whole point. By the way, is it important? Thou shalt not steal. But does it save you if you don't steal? No. But the whole purpose of salvation was God to save us in Christ unto or for a new life, a different life, a life of obedience to God, of course. So friends, it's really simple. It's by faith we're saved. To make it technically, it's by grace through faith in Christ alone we are saved, which then does what? Good works are inevitable. Inevitably come from that. God saves us in Christ for or unto good works. Ephesians 2:8-9. By the way, this is every place, folks. I'm just going to give you a smattering of verses. Ephesians 2:8-9 is the classic text. For by grace are you saved. Yes. Through faith. and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But it's not like works has nothing to do with being a Christian. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Or with the idea of being the object is he changes us and we follow good works. Not to be saved, no, but because we're saved. John 10:27, using different language. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they... By the way, by definition, if a person doesn't follow Christ, he is not a follower of Christ. I'll say that again. If a person doesn't follow Christ, by definition, he's not a follower of Christ. That's really deep, isn't it? You say, Pastor, I don't follow Christ. I would just say this. Are you saved? Hebrews 6, verse 9, out of a big context, powerful passage. After saying he wasn't sure about some of the believers, if they were true believers, he says this. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. You see, good works accompany salvation. 1 Timothy 2, verse 10, talking about women. Women should primarily be known by this text. He says, which becometh women professing godliness, if you're a believer, with good works. 1 Timothy 5, verse 10, this is talking to widows. She needs to be well reported of for good works. It's just natural. It's what God makes us to be. We follow Christ now. We obey the laws now. They become part of who we are. 2 Timothy 3:17, talking about a pastor, that the man of God, and don't get real weird on that language. We could also say the child of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The whole point of salvation is to for those good works to follow salvation. Hebrews 13:20. By the way, we could do this all morning. I'm giving you a smattering of verses. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Friends, the paradigm is simple. So if you look at the paradigm, next, there we go. Good works leads to salvation. That's not on the table. Many, many people, including this man, thought you had two options. It's either faith plus good works leads to salvation, or he thought Paul taught faith leads to salvation and then live like you want. Neither one of those are biblical. There's only one biblical option. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone leads to salvation. That's how you get saved. And good works follow inevitably over time. We'll come back to that in a moment. Folks, I grew up in an area, none of you in this room experienced this. Doesn't mean you're less than me, it means I'm weird. I have an experience none of you have. I grew up in southwestern Illinois. Hear me. And my father and mother bought a farm in 1960. I'm going to use language some of you don't know, a homesteaded farm. The original people that moved into the state of Illinois in 1810 came to that area, cordoned off a piece of property, nobody lived there, cut a place out of the forest for a home. And you know how I know this? By the way, second farm too. In 63, we bought a second farm that attached 160, 120 acres. These weren't great properties, they were in the bluffs. Listen, listen, listen. Both farmers did the obvious. You didn't go to Walmart for food. Where'd you get your sweets from? I ask you a question. Where did you get your sweets from? Both farms, and I can take you to farm after farm after farm like this, very close to the house, in a corner of the property that surrounded the house. In one of the corners would be a couple of apple trees, couple of peach trees, couple of cherry trees. Because the way you got sweets was, are you ready? You grew them. You say, well, why didn't you go to Walmart? In 1820, yeah, there were a lot of Walmarts. Folks, there weren't even stores, there weren't roads. Do you know people still traveled on the rivers for a long time and the roads were horrific? You didn't go anyplace. You grew your own and you canned it. I never figured out why we called it canning when they put them in a jar. I do not understand, but that's what we called it. You canned your food. Friend, I got a question for you.
How do you know it was an apple tree past the war?
Some of you are like, huh? What? How do I know it was a peach tree? If you don't know what the word peach is, Dorazno. How do I know it was a peach tree? Peaches came on the peach tree. How do I know it was a cherry tree? Friends, wait a minute. If you planted an apple tree today, do you think in 1 year you're going to have apples? They didn't plant those apple trees for today. They planted those apple trees for the next 10, 15, 20, 30. By the way, we moved to the first farm in 1960. That farm was homesteaded in the 1820s. That's 140 years later. Now there's still people living there. 1960 seems like another world to most of you. By the way, friend, how do you know a person's a Christian? Because they talk? A Christianity is, what did Jesus say? By their fruits you shall know them. By the way, now listen, somebody gets saved here this morning. I don't expect them to live like a Christian tomorrow. I think that's going to be a process, just like the tree. It takes some time for the tree to grow. But sooner or later, you say, you take me to your farm, or you take me to the woods and say, that is an apple tree. And we go back there every year for the next 20 years and no apples grows. I'm going to think it's not an apple tree. By the way, friend, this is basic Christianity. Nothing deep. Farmers, by the way, I know the German farmers that founded, that settled that area. Their last name was Groppel. I went to school with kids named Groppel. We bought two farms by two different relatives named Groppel. They were farmers. They built, and by the way, nearby they built apple orchards, peach orchards. You expect apples and peaches to grow and cherries in due time. Yes, that's what you do. So I'm going to state this and let's go back to the paradigm. I have said, number one, good works do not save. Number two, they cannot save. Because how are you going to fix yourself? Number three, only God can save through Christ, obviously. Number four, God saves us by Christ or in Christ unto good works. So the first paradigm is gone. The second paradigm is gone because it tries to mix in what you do with what Christ did. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. It's in him. Second's gone. By the way, the third's gone too. This whole idea that you can be a Christian, look at me. And for 30 years, you say, I prayed a prayer. I don't care about your prayer. Because if you're an apple tree, you're producing apples. If you're a Christian, over time, God's going to change you. That's all. Can I have an amen? And if he doesn't, what are we talking about exactly? By the way, if your life is centered on you and your emotions and your passions, don't get mad at me. Something's not right. Either you're not saved or you're still an infant. If your life is characterized by that constant envy, nasty talking, bile spewing, you need to get some matters right and get back in the either saved or get in the growth and grace process. Number five, let's look at Titus 1:16. This is obvious. I'm not going to try to prove it this morning. Titus 1:16. This is another reference to works in the book. Two references in one verse. Speaking about some unbelievers that they had contact with, he says this, they profess talk, 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 talk. You know what state I was? Let me ask a question. How many of you know what state I was born in? Who knows? Some of you, by the way, what is the motto of the state I was born in? It's the show me state. Did you know that? That's the great state of Missouri or Misery, whichever you prefer. By the way, please don't talk to me. Show me. Show me over the next 5 or 10 or 15 years. We'll know exactly who you are. Don't come up here and, oh my goodness. Paul says to Titus, he says, listen, they profess that they know God, but in works, they what? being abominable and disobedient. By the way, can you be a person that their lifestyle over time is disobedient? No. He says, and he goes on to say, and unto every good work reprobate. Another way of saying it, they live a life that's disapproved by God. There is no way this person is a believer. Number five. So I have said, I want to repeat the points this morning. If you need to look at this, this will be online. You can scroll through the PowerPoint. Good works do not save. Good works cannot save. Only God can save through Christ. God saves us in Christ unto or for good works. Number five, good works confirm or deny salvation. They confirm or they deny salvation, what the text says. In this case, they did a lot of talking, but their works deny that they've ever been saved. Because when you trust Christ, you're changed. He starts changing you instantly. He changes you into a new creature. He makes you different, not in 5 minutes, but over time. 1 John 2, verse 3. By the way, I didn't put this in the notes. Our forefathers would always say this. Everybody look at me. They would say, here's the role of good works. Good works are the fruit of a living faith and the evidence of a living faith. So the good works come out of a living faith in Christ and they point back to a living faith in Christ. Kind of what the Bible says. 1 John 2. And hereby we do know that we know him. How do we know him? What's the evidence? What's the evidence? We keep his command. Of course, you live differently. And you live differently over time. Doesn't mean you don't struggle. Doesn't mean you don't sin. Doesn't mean that you don't have problems. We all do. But over time, you're set on a different course. Look at me, friends. I'm not a perfect person, believe it or not. I've never claimed to walk on water. Not remotely. I have made plenty of mistakes. I don't even have a problem confessing my mistakes. But listen, over a course of a lifetime, God points you in a different direction. He makes you different. He makes you in its growth, its maturity. It's that constant work of the renewing work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And over time, you become more interested in people. You're not always talking about yourself. It's not all about your feelings and your opinion. It's just a whole different world. Yes, that's what God does. So good works either confirm or deny salvation. 1 John 3, verse 10. And this is so obvious, it's impossible to debate. He says, in this the children of God are manifest on one side, and by the way, on the other side, the children of the devil. There's children of both, by the way. There are descendants in both lines. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. So let's not play that game. Now, by the way, we're not talking about that a person can't sin, can't even backslide, but we're talking about over a period of time. It's obvious. Neither he that loveth not his brother. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brother. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. I'm going to tell a 2-minute story. I might tell it again. It is May. May, what's the date exactly? Some of you are looking at your phone. It's the 17th. Is that right? I think it's May 23rd, but I could be wrong. 1977. It's a long time ago. Seems like yesterday, but it's a long time ago because I saw my friend from 1977, and I don't know what happened to him because I have not aged. But he's totally bald now. He's bald, and I look old. Vic Borden was my worst enemy. He moved into the barracks at Bethesda Naval Hospital when I was in school, and I'll just say it kindly. He was a dope-smoking, beer-drinking, hell-raising, porn addict, and gambling addict. And he just loved me. I talked to him about the Lord a half a dozen times, and I've told the story before, but for the young people that think you're the first person that ever got stressed, give me a break. I still remember a Saturday morning, I was reading the Bibles upstairs. I don't use that one anymore. I had my Thompson Chain Reference Bible. It was a room much smaller than this, but rectangular. Over in that corner was a desk, a long desk that went about halfway down. And I was seated at the desk reading my Thompson Chain Reference Bible. He walked in. Young people that are looking at yourself, you say, I'm the only, oh, shut up. He took a joint. I don't know what term you use today or what term is used today. Marijuana, lit it up. He walked over to me and he said, you want some? We loved each other. Christian love. Have you been there? Now look at me. I don't know the exact date. I think it was the 23rd of May. It might have been the 26th of May, so don't hold me to the date. He will call me again this year. I got him on my phone. If I dug around, I could find one of the messages. All I know is the 2 a.m. pick got saved. You look at me. He went from being hating me to loving me in one day. Only God can do that. So you play around. By the way, we're going to know who you are over time. Because I can't tell, because talk doesn't mean walk. Good works will either confirm or deny. They won't save you. They don't keep you saved. They simply demonstrate God's changed you. That's the teaching of Scripture. So, good works do not save. Number two, good works cannot save. Number three, only God can save us through Christ. Number four, God saves us in Christ unto or for good works. Number five, good works confirm or deny salvation. Lastly, Titus 3, verse 8 and verse 14 and verse 1. This is a faithful saying. These are all the references in the book of Titus to good works, by the way. And these things I will, Titus, as a pastor, that thou affirm constantly. That they which have get the language behind me, notice I've underlined, they that have believed, meaning those who are saved. This is not how you get saved, but those who have believed in God might be careful to do what? Maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Titus 3:14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Titus 3:1 talks about for believers. It's actually different because the context is different. He tells us, and we talked about this a few weeks back, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Number six, I'm going to say all of it and be done. Good works do not save. Good works cannot save. Only God can save us through Christ. Number four, God saves us in Christ unto or for good works. Number five, God's work, good works in our life confirm or deny. They're either the fruit of a living faith and evidence of that living faith, or they're not. One or the other. Lastly, good works must be maintained and maintained with variety. Yes, we are to follow Christ in all ways. The variety is this. It's not just good works at church. Serving at church is important. Awana is important. Sunday school is important. Witness is important. Choir is important. Nursery, all that's wonderful. Missions work, yes, but then there's also the things we do in public. We get involved in different things that help a community cohere, that makes a community a community. We don't hate people. We don't go out into the world and spread hate. We go out in the world trying to build community. Hear me, friend. Good works. There's only one paradigm. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, leads to salvation, which leads to good works. Hear the language. Which leads to good works inevitably. So my friend, the guy, and I respect the man and like the man, his problem was he thought he was in a dilemma. Either it's faith plus good works gets you saved, that's what he thought, or you throw good works out, and both of those are untrue. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, leads to salvation, which leads to good works inevitably. Father, thank you for this time. Speak, seal these truths to our heart. If there's someone here this morning that's not saved, I sure hope they're not appealing to their good works, because those good works will not do anything before you. There's only one good work, the work of Christ on the cross, of which he said on the cross, "Tetelestai, it is finished." He saves us. It's out of his mercy and grace he saves us. It's by justification by faith alone that he declares us righteous. He makes us new. He creates us. But he always creates us unto good works. Thank you for the truth. Help us to hear, understand, live. And for those in this room that are doing a lot of talking, you're looking for some more walking. It's not talk, talk, talk. It's walk, walk, walk. Over a lifetime, that will be the fruit and the evidence of a living faith in the living God and what his son did for us. Bless now, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.